What to look artist. For on the toothpaste label?
Woohoo! That it's not Preparation H.
Once again, to Crazy Comics and Stories, it's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
How do you apologize for a sin of omission?
Say, I'm sorry?
Well, it usually doesn't work, but we'll do it anyways. We talked... last episode about our Free Comic Day shenanigans. Yeah. And I forgot to mention the variant Walking Dead cover that Granite City has.
Oh!
I mentioned it a while back because at FallCon, they were advertising that they had it. Well, that was one of the first things Tim gave me when he came up to me is their free, well, it wasn't free, but their exclusive Walking Dead cover. And he's got the sticker over the issue number, so let me just open it here. Oh, it's not Vince! No, it is.
They also had huge stacks of them at Captain Jack's.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, they're still there. He was trying desperately to get rid of them.
Well, Tim had, he said there was like limited to 500, and okay, I see what it is. It's a remake, a reprint of
number one, I believe.
It is, yeah. It's their 15th anniversary retailer edition. Can you believe it? 15 years of Walking Dead. And it's got Rick Grime on the cover, and he just blew a hole into Granite City Comics. And, of course, you look in the mirror, and you look behind him, and there's a bunch of zombies walking at him. Or, as I prefer to think of, comic fans. So, but if you are interested in all, get a hold of Granite City Comics in St. Cloud. Just Google it. Isn't it great these days? I mean, we used to have all this stuff available. Call this number and blah, blah, blah. Now it's just Google it if you want it.
And there'll be a link in the show notes.
Yes. And apologies to Tim for overlooking that, although I don't think he really cares. But it's a cool cover, and I do like supporting our local guys. So there, that's old business. What about new business? New.
Oh, the big story in comics. Yeah, Joe, you've heard of Lion Forge Comics, right?
I did.
And you've heard of Oni Comics, right?
I have.
They're now the same company.
Lion Oni?
Yep.
Oni Lion?
And a whole bunch of people got laid off.
Uh-oh.
They removed redundancies. The one thing that I'm curious about, this is the month in previews that Lion Forge has the, last month, who was it? Humanoids. Was it Humanoids started their own universe?
Yeah, Mark Wade, I actually recommended it, the one Ignited, his book through Humanoids.
Well, this month, Gail Simone, who's was an editor at Lion Forge and is headlining their superhero universe, the first issue of that is available. Haven't heard about anything changing with that, but one of the things when I read the article about it on The Beat, which is run by Heidi McDonald, who used to be an editor at DC and was a editor, actually was the editor of Disney's comic line, and then got moved over to the Disney Adventures Digest, which through the 90s was available in grocery stores at the checkout counter and is probably the reason why Bone sold so well through Scholastic, because Bone was serialized in it as well as other comics. But Heidi McDonald's The Beat, which is probably the best news site out there, talked about how there may be more mergers of smaller companies in order to gain more market share.
I could see that, because so often I look at some of these small companies and I keep thinking, you know, even if you weren't to merge, I could see consolidating to make not only a better presence in previews, but also to just ensure that you guys could, like you said, get rid of redundancies, lower costs. I mean, we saw Top Shelf disappear into, is it IDW or Dynamo? No, IDW.
IDW.
And even then, there's a lot of these small companies. You're wondering, what is it in, what are they doing it for? Because, I mean, you follow the sales better than I do, and some of the runs on these books are just so minuscule. Like, how can you be making money on it? Or are you doing this in order to sell the rights to Hollywood and hopefully score and get a Netflix series or a movie or something like that, especially a Netflix series or some other type of exclusive content to a streaming service? Because those guys are going to be battling for their lives, especially when Disney drops this fall. So anybody that can get like Saga, we have yet to, I don't even know if that's been picked up by anybody, but boy, the first person who decides to do that, you've got a built-in audience already.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I guess it doesn't surprise me that some of these smaller companies are going together. Always surprises me when another company pops up, you know?
But, well, when there was Legendary Comics, which was literally created for movie pitches, the what was it? The Dwayne Johnson Hercules movie.
Yeah.
The comic was a pitch to him to say, here's what we want to do. And they did other books like that. Remember, they signed up Frank Miller, who brought them the, what was that? It was a Batman graphic novel that he did and changed. When he brought
Holy
it over
there. Terror or something.
Yes, Holy Terror. And I imagine they thought, well, you know, we could do this into a movie because the 300 did so well and this did so well. But I've read it and it's so close to Batman that you would not be able to do that.
I don't know if I read it. I think I might have. I either have it buried in my accumulation of crap, or I just donated it to, you know, one of the charity booths years. I don't remember.
And the thing is, I remember when he pitched it, he said, this is going to be propaganda. Just like comics were in World War II. And he made no bones about it. He said, comics have a long tradition of propaganda. In the 40s, it was, you know, Marvel Comics number one had anti-Nazi stuff in it 2 years before we were in World War II. Captain America number one came out a year before Pearl Harbor. And on the first issue, Cap's punching Hitler in the face. And one of the things that people forget at the time, Hitler was popular in the U.S. The Nazis had rallies at Madison Square Garden through the 30s because during the Depression, business owners were scared to death that people would go, well, you know, capitalism has failed. We need to look at communism. And fascism was thought of as the way to fight communism because fascism is government working with industry, where industry kind of controls government. So that's why if you look back in history, IBM worked with Hitler. Henry Ford got awards from Hitler for his assembly line procedures. Coca-Cola. Yeah, Joe, you ever drink Fanta?
Not on purpose.
But you know where Fanta comes from, right?
I'm going to.
After Pearl Harbor and we declared war on Germany, Coca-Cola still wanted to sell soda pop to the Germans. So they created a separate company that would sell soda, and that was Fanta. And then after the war, it's, hey, Coca-Cola owns Fanta! Which is why for years people would drink knee-high rather than Fanta. Because there were still memories of, hey, Fanta's that Nazi soda.
I remember a book in way back in St. Paul Comic. We can do business with Hitler.
Yeah.
And he was saying, yeah, same thing. You know, it's like, oh, Hitler bad. You know. I didn't buy it though. I probably should have. It would have been kind of neat to have as kind of some odd historical thing.
The superhero revival from Marvel, although it was called Atlas at the time. Actually, it was still Timely, but it was Atlas on the cover. I've gone into that forever. They were anti-commie in the same way they were anti-fascist. Captain America, when he was revived, it was Captain America Commie Smasher.
Mm-hmm.
And even the origin of Iron Man, if you read the original origin, it's set in Vietnam, and the Vietnamese were basically shown just like the Japanese were in World War II comics. So Miller said, I'm going to do propaganda. And everybody completely freaked out. And if you read it with that in mind, that it was, okay, this is propaganda for post 9/11. It fits and it makes sense. And I'm not going to discuss the merits of it because at this point, Frank Miller's such a polarizing figure. I've talked to people who love comic art and know comic art. Some of them will say that Miller's stuff has gone so impressionistic that it blows their minds. There are other people who will say, Miller's art sucks now. So. But that's talking about comics that came in the past. We need to talk about comics in our future.
Why, that sounds like a previews problem.
Because the cover of previews made me go,
You gotta love it when that actually happens. You get so excited and you open the book. You know, I've often said I have more fun going through previews than I do when getting the actual book.
You're the kind of guy who liked reading the Sears catalog more than opening your presents on Christmas, aren't you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. So on the cover of previews.
Sears catalog, that was one of my few jobs in the beginning. So I got that going for me.
See, I remember as a kid getting the Sears catalog, and I actually remember the year we quit getting it.
When they started charging for it, or if you didn't use it, you didn't get the new one?
Right. Because all of a sudden, it was, wait a minute. We don't have the Sears catalog. And Mom and Dad would say, yeah, we're not getting that anymore.
I remember what the deal was at the time, because somebody was doing the numbers, and they said if everybody who got a catalog just bought $5 out of it, they wouldn't, the catalog would pay for itself, and then they could get on running the business. But the problem was is so many people are so used to getting the catalog. I mean, the only thing that was more widespread in a home would be a Bible. And
yeah,
boy, Sears just, I mean, people would go nuts. And what did I know? I was, you know, I was 16 when I started there. And, you know, well, can I get a card? Well, you know, if you get a free card, first of all, they didn't want to pay for shipping it because it was expensive and heavy. And even, believe me, my buddy who was a postal carrier, whenever the Sears catalog showed up, thanks, Ryder. Kind of like the same love I get when people go fly through the airport with TSA. Yep, I personally control it. Anyways, so people would get them if you ordered a certain amount out of it, like $50. Not a lot. Everybody else would get a card saying, hey, come get one for free. And then you get people who never ordered out of it, but just got it. And, you know, that really probably, I've made the comment before, how could Sears catalog have $4 billion in sales, and this is pre-internet days, yet still have $4 billion in costs? You know, some of it was, you know, you pay to have something shipped to the store, and then you weren't sure about the size, so you'd order three different sizes. Well, they still had to pay to ship it back. So that's why they were, for a while, they were like, oh, don't let people order more than one size. And finally got to the point where it's like, guess what? You got to just phone it in. You don't even go to Sears to make calls, you know. So they tried to adjust it, but eventually it just got to the point where, you know what, we're not making money at it. And one wonders if they had actually hung on long enough for the birth of the interwebs, if they would have made it work. Although knowing the way Sears worked and kept everything in house, they probably, we have to have our own system. We cannot let anybody else on our server. Cost, baby, cost.
Well, and I could also imagine that, you know, that was not a cheap catalog to make. Back in, you know, you hear about when the Sears catalog was how people got stuff. You could even order houses and stuff.
Yeah.
It was printed on newsprint. So it was kind of like a pulp magazine. But by the time I was a kid, it was on slick paper, full color. It had to be expensive to print. And they printed so many of them that couldn't have been cheap. Meanwhile, Previews is still on newsprint.
Yeah, for the most part, they're pretty...
Well, I imagine this is Mando paper. It's not newsprint.
Yeah, it doesn't have that cheap feel. Like the ink's going to rub off.
Yeah, Mando was the paper that they went to in the 80s that was better than newsprint. And then there was Baxter paper, which is pretty much what everything's printed on now. And it's weird that back in the 80s, we had to know that. Okay, this is the newsprint version. This is the Mando version. This is the Baxter version.
And if you're wondering why we're spending so much time doing this, at least for me, I got to say, this month's Previews was really wimpy.
It was... It struck me that this is summer. This is for, what, July and August?
We're May, June. Yeah, July.
They should really... This is when the company should be pulling out all the stops, because summer's when they make... when you make hay. But Marvel had some stuff. DC and everybody else just kind of... But the cover says all it needs to say. Jonathan Hickman. July 2019, and it shows the X-Men.
Yeah, I think when we get to Marvel, we'll have some talking to do. Well, should we dive right in?
Let's dive right in.
All right, like we do, first of all, remember, we're not talking about books necessarily. We order month to month. We had an episode at the beginning of the year where we did that. And if we're not covering your favorite book, be you a creator or just, hey, why didn't you cover this? Give us a quick line. You drop us a quick note. We'll pimp anything. We're all about comics. For the most part, we're talking about stuff. We're putting our money where our mouth is. This is stuff we are ordering.
And it's usually new series, trade paperbacks, or stuff that we just noticed.
Yeah. So, for example, Image, you know, and Corey knows this, I have yet to read Saga. Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples.
Yes.
I have, number one, not that I wish I had the issue. It's like a $400 issue. No, I have the first trade. I, however, am probably going to sell that, and I'm going to pick up the Saga Compendium. I love them, and I love omnibuses. I love them in big chunks, which is funny because when they first started coming on the scenes, I didn't really like omnibuses and things like that. But for me... It's such an economical way to have it all and have it in one story because I'm an old fart now. I'm officially crossed into old fartdom. And I just, when I go to read something, it still to this day, it drives me crazy. Okay, I know I had issue 4 out of this 6-issue run. Where is it? And do I want to go out and buy it at inflated back issue price, buy it off the eBays where I'm going to pay shipping, or just chuck it all in a dollar bin and just get the trade. So, but I think this is what I'm going to do. My guess is they have I can't even, hang on a second, my page flipped. I'm trying to see how many issues are in the compendium here.
It's all of the ones that have been printed so far, I believe. The first half of the story.
But that's not everything, is it? That to date? Because there's an ungodly amount of books.
Collecting the first 9 volumes into one massive paperback.
Oh, there we go. And then the question also, you know, will it end up like my Bone paperback where I've read that thing to pieces? So
it reminds me a lot of one of the first ones Image did was Rising Stars, where they did the big thick trade paperback that reprinted all of it. And I remember at the time people lost their minds. Oh my God, $70. Yeah, but it reprints the entire series.
Yeah.
Still, it's cheaper than buying it individual comics.
I do prefer hardcovers. So I am getting the I Hate Fairyland book 2 hardcover because I've got the number 1 sitting still sealed behind me on my shelf. And I can't think of his name. Scotty
Young.
Yeah, Scotty Young. A crazy, crazy book. We've blabbed about it before. The book collects 11 through 12 and the I Hate Image Facebook Free Comic Book Day special and some other exclusives. So if I can't have it as an omnibus, 2 hardcovers is a good way to do it. So that's pretty much it that stuck out at me image-wise. How about you, Mr. Strode?
There is also Bad Weekend hardcover, which is a little weird because it reprints Criminal issues 2 and 3. But it's got more to the story. This was the story about an older comic book artist who decides to take revenge on people he feels wronged him. And it's set in the Criminal universe, which means it uses some of the characters from the comic. I read issues 2 and 3, Criminal. It is fantastic. And now I have to pick this up because it's got even more. Has been expanded with several new scenes added and remastered into a hardcover graphic novel, much like the graphic novel My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. So, cannot recommend that enough, and I'm looking forward to all the new stuff. I'm getting the Saga Compendium, too. I prefer having my stuff collected, and if they're going to collect it in something that big, yeah, I can balance it on my lap long enough to read. Next up is Dark Horse.
Yep. A couple things.
Not
from Dark
a lot
Horse.
Jumped out at me from Dark Horse this month.
For me, I have the Orville jumped out. I actually like the Orville.
And it got renewed for a third season.
It did. I started it with season 2, so I missed the first season, which was a lot of more juvenile Seth MacFarlane type humor. And they did have some stuff. I don't know if you're prone to want to jump into season 2 and watch it, but they had some really kick-ass episodes in season 2, including one of the best space fights ever. And this includes Star Wars, Star Trek, and anyone else you want to do. The book is only a 2-issue miniseries, so it also takes place between, I guess, season 1 and season 2. And it's written by an executive producer. I hope they go the route that Straczynski did on Babylon 5, where everything they do is canon. It just makes it more fun to read. Yesterday was Mother's Day, and I spent a day talking to one of my daughter's girlfriends about Babylon 5 and how much all this is canon. And I made him the promise I'll dig up my trade paperbacks. Well, not only the one I think Peter David did, but also the comic series and the books. Because it's all canon. It all ties together. Most of it. There's a few where it doesn't. But so Orville, I will pick that up. Hopefully it sells well enough to actually pick up. Who's doing it? David Goodman. I said the producer. And then the art. Michael Atia. And judging by the cover. Well, he did the cover. So David Cabiza. But the cover looks pretty good.
And they've got a couple, they just have one of the interior pages showing what the art's going to be like.
Yeah, and it's good. If you like the Star Trek art that like Gordon Purcell did, what's nice is the characters look like the characters. They're not, you know, we can't use the likeness, but you're going to know who they are because we'll use their names. And of course, leading up to one of my favorite comic covers of all time, and it basically has the hero on the comic as he's looking outwards. He goes, "Gah! A giant spider with diapers on!" Yes, I'm talking about the goodness of Flaming Carrot Comics. And they're going to have their omnibus. And you know I love omnibuses. I'm an omni guy. I'm an omnibus guy. $24.99. It's going to have quite a... quite a lot of the run in it, including the crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did want to look up, though, there's a couple issues they don't have in there, and I was going to actually look it up on the Cray 3000 here, or as I call it, AtomicAvenue.com. Let's see, Flaming Comic. So they go like issues 1 to 2. It doesn't say if they're doing the first one that he self-published way back in 81. Let's see, Flaming. I have a Flaming Carrot action figure somewhere, too. Flaming Carrot Comics. Okay, not the Image Run. Let's see. All right. Issue 3 doesn't really indicate why they don't have it. It's all done by Bob Burden. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason they did it. And it goes 4 to 11 and then skips all the way to the crossover with the Turtles. So,
you skipped the page before that, Joe.
Stop the Red Line?
No.
Empowered?
The new Empowered trade.
Well, I always rave about Empower. Usually I wait till I read it, and then I'll rave about it.
But they, Adam Warren always puts out this book in trade. He's done a few miniseries. I love Adam Warren's stuff. He has been working in manga-influenced stuff since he did the adaptation of The Dirty Pair back in the early 90s. And his run on Gen 13 was probably my favorite run of that series. I'm just shocked that he doesn't get more superhero work. But Empowered is a lot of fun. Flaming Carrot, I'm actually not picking this omnibus up. And Joe, what?
Well, knowing you, you probably have it all.
Yep. Burden actually put out omnibuses of this series before. And I still have those. He put out 4 big, thick trade paperbacks reprinting everything. So I don't need to double dip.
Not a double dipper, eh?
Could you turn to page 117?
I will, but there's a reason why I'm not sure if I'm going to buy this.
I'm not buying it because I don't need to.
And really, I would say for the listeners of our podcast, they don't need to because we've given away probably everything that's in this for free. And I'm talking about the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund presents Selling Comics, the Guide to Retailing and Best Practices in the Greater Modern Art Form. It's only $14.99, not terribly expensive. But it advertises itself as a practical guide to the nuts and bolts of modern comic retailing with essays and best practices guidelines from some of the sharpest minds in the industry. Articles on almost every aspect of comic retailing, including staging successful in-store events, training staffs, diversifying product lines. Again, you've got that for free for the past 9 years and 400 plus episodes from us.
But I also think this is a book that every comic shop should have. So I know a lot of retailers listen to us. This is a book you should have because it doesn't just have comic stuff. It talks about training your staff. It talks about how to stage in-store events properly and also diversifying your product line. Mike Wolfer, who's the editor at American Mythology, he's getting more and more good information on his Facebook. If you're a retailer, you need to friend him or follow him. But he was talking about a comic shop in, I think it's St. Louis, that's closing. Because, like a lot of comic shops, people weren't picking up their books.
I'll actually talk about that in when we get to freaking.
And I can't tell you how many times we've gone over it. That's one of the worst reasons for your shop to close, because you need to be on top of that.
Yep. We've talked about that quite a bit in the past, yep, about this same shop, too.
Yep. You're giving your customers a loan. How long are you going to let them keep that loan? But this goes into a lot of that stuff. This is the Nuts and Bolts book. And the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is probably the best resource for this stuff because they've been around for, at least 30 years?
Oh, yeah.
How's that make you feel old?
Yeah.
Joe, what was the court case? Does Joe know What was the comic shop that started the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund?
I don't. Friendly I do know Franks all about it.
In Chicago.
I just
got sued for selling adult comics.
And really, it wasn't necessarily, it was kind of a setup case because.
Yes, it
basically,
was a sting operation.
Yeah, and it's like, it wasn't like a kid bought it, from what I understand. It was, I thought an adult bought it.
Yep, it was an undercover cop. Went and bought it, and then arrested the staff who sold it to him. And they got together with Kitchen Sink and a couple other small press publishers. Dennis Kitchen is kind of the brains behind the creation of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And they fought that case and won.
However, the bad thing about it is that the guy who owned Friendly Frank lost his business, lost his reputation, lost his wife. It goes to show the power of the government. When they want to go after you, they will. And that's why the Comic Legal Defense Fund exists. Yeah, in the Twin Cities, we haven't really had that problem. I mean, we had Greg Ketter, who was a member of the board for a while with his various stores. And he said there was always murmuring, but I think the prosecutors just looked at us as small fry.
They went after Ferris Alexander instead.
Yeah, which was a bigger fry.
And he had porn theaters and porn stores. And he also, the main reason they went after him is he had a video chain called US Video that was growing rapidly. And they had, you know, kids' movies in the front, porn in the back.
And it was also a case where I think our old governor, Mark Dayton, was friends with Joel Shinder at the time.
Yes.
And they were kind of like,
and
you know what?
That's why Shinder didn't get
nailed.
Yeah. That's why they went after Ferris, because Joel Shinder was more politically connected.
Yep. Yep. Not that it matters. Neither are around anymore. So, I wish we had someone that we had our old episodes indexed, because I know we've talked about this in the past, but that's okay. We'll talk about it in the future. So yeah, if you're interested, this looks like a good book. The one thing that it should cover that was not around when I had my comics, of course, for most of the big store, Hot Comics St. Paul, no eBays, no Amazon, did not exist. Came into being towards the end. Nowadays, and I think I talked about this in the last couple podcasts within the last month or so, social media. What would my shop be like, Crazy Comics Now, if I had social media behind it? How much could I push and say, hey, guys, I just got a run of Daredevil comics in. I'm doing a sale. I'm blowing out this. I'm going to the Comic-Con this weekend. As this drops, Spring-Con happened. And we'll talk about that in upcoming episodes. You know, just making big events using social media as a presence. I mean, I watch a small shop called Heroic Games out of Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis. I love watching their posts, because they're always like, guys, we just got to run NES games in. We got these in. They're a shop that's even smaller than Crazy Comics was. But rather than just sit passively and hope, hey, I'm here, come on in, you can actually make a presence like that and just drive sales. We had email. Corey talked about the phone line I used to do, where you could call in and listen to stuff. But to make an online presence like Facebook now, that can be an Instagram and Twitter and things like that. It's got to be part of this book. So if you ever want to wonder what it's like, or, you know, just get for information running a comic store, you know, pick up this book and listen to the last 9 years of our podcast.
Get started.
We'll wait. Don't worry.
The first few episodes are rough.
Well, they held up pretty good, but we thank you for sticking with us this long. That's for darn sure. After that, there was nothing else in Dark Horse that caught my eye. Anything for you, Mr. Strode?
No, not really. Dark Horse, Beasts of Burden, the second volume is out as a hardcover. And Beasts of Burden is a series I like. It's written by Evan Dorkin. Most of it is drawn by Joe Thompson. It's about dogs who protect their neighborhood from the forces of evil. Mystic evil.
Sounds rough.
Moving on. IDW.
IDW. Right, wait, did we jump over DC or are we going to come back to them? Remember, DC's in their own.
Yeah, DC's got its own thingamabob. So,
okay, IDW.
Okay, IDW. Walt Simonson's Ragnarok is back.
Yep, 6-issue miniseries, The Breaking of, how you say it, Helheim?
Helheim.
Helheim. So.
And if you have not read Ragnarok, this is Thor after Ragnarok has occurred. Thor is dead, but still walking the cosmos. And if you are thinking that, oh, this is a sequel to his Marvel Thor run. No. This is him going back to the original Norse myths and playing with those toys, not Marvel toys, the original myth toys. It's very dark. It's beautiful. As I look at it, it's hard for me to believe that Simonson's almost 70 with his art, because his art has never been better. Such a good series. They also offer the previous hardcover and 2 trade paperback. Actually, it's 2 hardcovers and 1 trade paperback. So if you've not,
believe me, I really want to get that hardcover. It's on the question mark list. You know, I total everything up, and if I can afford it, I've been doing it.
Well, and the other thing is, the hardcover is only $5 more than the paperback, so just buy the hardcover. Just do it.
Do it.
And on the next page is a Glow one shot. Glow, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It's based on the Netflix series, which, Joe, have you watched yet?
I have not.
Oh, you should. You'll love
it. There's a lot of things I should do. But
yes, you'll love it. But the Glow series is actually done by one of the writers of the comic. This one's done by Devin Grayson, who doesn't do a lot of comics anymore, which is a shame because I always liked her comics.
Yep.
And for me, that was about it from IDW.
Yeah, same.
Was there anything in the... Well, there is the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 4, The Tempest, where it reprints all of the last run of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So remember, this is Alan Moore's last comic until he decides to do it.
Yeah. And see, I'm so... Well, they do have everything listed, at least. You know, it's like when they got into 3, there's the hardcover Century. I don't even know if I have Volumes 1 and 2, but I'm going to have to check and see if I have those. So many things. I did enjoy them when they came out, but sometimes when you go from publisher to publisher, that's when I start losing, you know, do I have it? Do I don't have it?
Yeah, that's one of the things that happens with, it's like when a TV series jumps to a different network, it automatically loses viewers. I think when a comic jumps from publisher to publisher, it loses readers. The first one I remember doing that was Dreadstar. When it went from Epic to First, because they talked about, oh, this will show if Marvel, you know, people really just buy Marvel books because they're Marvel books. Yeah, it lost about a third of its readers, so people were buying it because it was Marvel. That, and if you read it, the last Epic issue was kind of a finale for the series. And when it went to First, it started a new direction. And since that's it for IDW, let's go to DC.
Okay. Nothing new. Moving on. No, seriously. There literally is nothing from DC that I'm interested. I mean, I'm doing like 15 titles, but there were no graphic novels. There was nothing new. I know they're doing this big crossover thing with Luther running around making deals with all the villains, and I'm like, wait till it comes out in a book. Although there are things to point out, and I'm sure Corey probably did. First one that did catch my eye is the books that they're doing, the books that were originally Walmart books.
Yes.
And so those are out.
Yep. You've got the Batman by Brian Michael Bendis. They're going to be reprinting that story as a 6-issue miniseries and then collecting it as a trade. The Superman by Tom King. Again, they're doing it as a 6-issue miniseries, then collecting it as a trade. My problem with both of those, hey, they're reprints. And they're $4.99 for regular page comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder Woman, same thing. I already have these in the Walmart books. They're really good. Are they worth being, you know, extras, you know, a dollar more than a regular comic? That kind of bugs me because they're reprints. And you would think that they already made their money. You know, they made back their costs when it was printed in the Walmart books. Now they're doing them as miniseries in order to recoup more costs before they put it out as a trade paperback. It a lot of double dipping there.
Yeah. Yeah. Not very friendly for the market. I mean, at $3.99, I might have done it, but knowing they're coming in a trade, I'll wait.
Also, Jimmy Olsen, Matt Fraction is writing, Steve Lieber is drawing, Corey is buying. Lois Lane, Greg Rucka is writing, Mike Perkins is drawing, Corey is buying.
Now, see, this one will be interesting because I wonder if they're going to do what DC and Marvel do that annoys me. First trade will be 1 through 6. Second trade will be the rest of it. I want it as
7 through 12, and then they'll do a hardcover.
Yeah, that's what I'm after. I will pick these up in the future when they're hardcovers. So, and believe me, that's tough because I read both of these. And I'm like, but, you know, again, I'm an old fart. I want to read it as one thing. And I also want to point out
with DC, yo, you and I talked about how they're putting out fewer books. Well, the numbers came in for April. Marvel's market share was 50%. That means out of every comic sold to a comic retailer, one out of every two was a Marvel book. The other one was a DC Image, you know, everybody else. DC cutting back their line did not increase their sales, and it hurt their market share. So if the stated reason of, oh, you know, we think that flooding the market is causing people to buy fewer books, and if we put out fewer books, we'll get higher sales. May I quote
from the old cartoon on Cartoon Network from Two Stupid Dogs?
Yes.
Isn't that cute? But it's wrong! You have no idea how much I've been waiting to say that. Best part is, it's all owned by AT&T, so I kept the reference in the family.
Yes.
As mean as it was in the family.
And the trade paperbacks and hardcovers is just minuscule compared to what it was even 6 months ago.
And that kind of annoys the living bejesus out of me because, you know, they have months where there are so many items I've had to cut and try to keep my budget from busting. And then they get months like this where there's almost nothing. And I mean, for me, there was nothing. I mean, there's some things I might have maybe been interested in. And if my numbers kind of drop and that, you know, I come in within the budget I'm trying to get, yeah, maybe I'll revisit and pick up a few of them. Are there any you're looking to get, Corey?
All-Star Comics Only Legends Live Forever is a nice thick trade paperback that reprints all of the 70s Justice Society stories.
Yeah, that was one I was looking at.
Including the death of Batman.
Yeah.
Which every time I read it, it's like, yeah, that story doesn't work for me.
No. If you didn't pick it up as a miniseries like I did, here's your chance to get Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica. Paul Dini, Mark, why do I bother with names? I can't pronounce them. Andrico.
Mark Andrico.
Laura Braga and Andrea Mello. So, again, a fun crossover.
A few pages back, Batman Black and White Omnibus. Oh. Batman Black and White is one of those series that I absolutely loved. This reprints Black and White 1 through 4, Batman Black and White 1 through 6, and the Black and White stories in the back of Batman Gotham Knights 1 through 49. Let me read this. The people who worked on it. Neil Adams, Brian Boland, John Buscema, Darwin Cook, Paul Dini, Harlan Ellison, Neil Gaiman, Dave Simmons, Adam Hughes, Jim Lee, Dwayne McDuffie, Sean Murphy, Dennis O'Neill, Paul Pope, Alex Ross, Walt Simonson, Bruce Timm, and more. Basically, the black and white were short stories told in black and white. And they were made for black and white art.
Never passed.
All of these were just wonderful, and now they're all going to be in one book. Remember how
I
they...
I have them in trade, so I shouldn't say that. Holly has my trade.
I don't have all of the trades, and I don't have all of the backup stories.
Yeah, so it's on the list. A lot of on the list. I do notice they're doing Hitman's Greatest Hits trade paperback.
That annoys me because they had announced they were going to reprint the whole series. Now it's, here's some random issues.
Yeah, which I found annoying. And I'm kind of glad now I busted a left one trying to find all of the series. Because now I have it all. I don't have to deal with that.
Right below that is Justice League Last Survivors of Earth. Remember how they said, oh, we're reprinting the Bronze Age in these omnibuses. And then they canceled it and said, we'll figure out how to... Well, here's the first trade paperback reprinting those series. It's a nice, big, thick book for $35. It's around the same size and format as the Marvel Epic line. I have never read these stories, so I'm interested. This was when Denny O'Neill and Mike Friedrich took over the Justice League. So it wasn't as formulaic.
Now, if you like your Walt Simonson, on page 78, there is Orion by Walter Simonson, book 2. And what I like is down below, kudos to DC. They have offered book 1, and they give you the order code. Because you'll need that if you go to your retailer to say, get it. And what I enjoyed about that is, first of all, my trades are out of control. I mean, that's kind of an ongoing theme. My whole collection's out of control.
It's out of control, people!
I'm loving it. But I had no idea if I ordered this. Well, in my book here of all my orders, I was able to go back to April 18 and discover I did not order book 1. I do have Walt Simonson's New God run, which I love. So I'm kind of like, you know what? Again, money prevailing. These are two that I would probably pick up. And we already know from his Thor, he knows how to do gods. So that's not even a question.
Yeah. I think right... The next page. Yep, the next page. Swamp Thing by Nancy A. Collins, Omnibus. Here's the thing. Nancy Collins is a novelist who's done some work in comics. She wrote the very influential vampire punk novel, Sunglasses After Dark. Her writing is excellent. And her run on Swamp Thing was toward the end of the Vertigo run. And has never been reprinted.
Yeah, there was some.
And there's some never before published promo material and her pitch, as well as redesign art by the creators. See, it's Swamp Thing 110 through 139, Annual 6 and 7, Black Orchid number 3, and the story from Vertigo Jam. So. I have never read those because I think it was the person who did it after Rick Veitch. I kind of went, yeah, they're kicking Rick Veitch off the book. I don't want to read it.
Yeah.
Through them.
That was a, and it really had such a great storyline build up. And then all of a sudden, so, but then when Nancy came on, it took a while, but it gained some of the steam back.
And for me, that's it in the, in DC. There are some statues in the back that are pretty cool. I like the death, the DC Bombshells death statue. That one's kind of fun. But, I don't buy the statues because, well, once you start on that, it's like, well, you need a cool place to display them. I don't have that.
Should we do the cool down like they do during wrestle matches, and rather than jumping to Marvel, go into Dynamite?
Well, and also we've been going for about an hour, so we should talk about these guys, our sponsors. That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks. There you go. There's a cool down.
I like that.
And now we could do Dynamite.
See, Dynamite's interesting because there are a lot of media tie-ins. They're relaunching Vampirella again, which there's a few of the variant covers. If they're not too expensive, I wouldn't mind getting.
And it's Vampirella's 50th anniversary.
Yeah, they actually have a replica edition of number one. So if you liked what Marvel was doing, this is kind of a neat way of checking out something that's way above most of our pay grades to pick up.
They also do a new printing of the first Vampirella archives. And all of the 15 other archives that reprint the entire run of the magazine is available. One of the things about Vampirella that I did not realize till I started these, I thought it was just all Vampirella stories. Nope, there is a lead Vampirella story, and then backup stories are standard Warren horror stories. So there's, remember how I said that Creepy and Eerie, they finally printed all those? Here's a bunch of Warren stories that I actually have not read because the Vampirella books all came out when I was working overnights and couldn't afford them. So I'm looking at these, and I might.
I am going to pick up the Charlie Angel's Bionic Woman crossover, mostly because I'm a Bionic Woman fan. So I've also discovered something that not a lot of people collect these and sell them as sets on eBay. So even if I'm done reading it and I decide to sell it, a lot of people, they sell the individual issues, but you're talking, even if you pick it up for undercover price, you're still paying about $4 to $5 shipping.
Yeah.
Whereas I can put it together as a series. And if I decide after I've read it, it's not something I want. I don't know. I've had a lot of luck selling Dynamite miniseries, especially when they're media crossovers like this. So take that for what it's worth.
The series, The Boys, by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson, gets a new omnibus trade paperback, which reprints trade paperbacks 5 and 6. This is probably how they're going to keep these in print from now on, just thicker trade paperbacks. The Boys will be a series on Amazon soon.
Oh, wow.
So
good luck with that one, baby.
Well, Amazon does not have a problem with hyperviolence.
Good.
If you've watched some of their other stuff, it's kind of like over on Netflix, the series Santa. Oh, what was the name of that? Santa Something Diet with Drew Barrymore as a zombie.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a lot of gore in that. It was funny. Huh. Funny as hell, but a lot of gore.
I have a friend.
Zombie comedy.
I made him. He watched the first episode of Happy.
Yes.
And he's already zipping through season two. And I'm like, dude, I'm only on episode one. But he's just, he is both fascinated and abhorred by the violence.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, good for you.
One other thing I want to point out from Dynamite. One of the most famous things that Warren ever printed is on page 210. That is the Jose Gonzalez Vampirella door poster.
Oh, yes.
They sold tons of these things. And there was a time in the 70s where you saw these everywhere.
It's almost like iconic.
Yes.
You know?
So there you go. It's the big Vampirella thing. Also, because it is Dynamite and they also own Dynamic Forces. Oh, look, you could get them pre-graded and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And they're also doing their a lot of their Virgin covers as Buy Alone. So if you'd like a Vampirella number one Frank Cho wraparound cover, you can do $50 for it, which might be close to what a retailer would have paid for it before when it was just a regular incentive. But whatever. Everybody needs a piece of the gravy, I guess.
Next is Boom.
Are we going to go that or are we going to go back to Marvel?
Let's do Boom and then we'll do Marvel.
All right.
So Boom. With Boom, I had one thing that I pointed out, and it's a series that I didn't even remember existed as an omnibus. That is Mark Waid's The Unknown. Revered as the smartest person alive, Catherine Allingham is the world's most famous private investigator. Stricken with a brain tumor and given 6 months to live, Kat copes the only way she can by solving the greatest mystery of all. What happens after we die? This collects the, two miniseries, 208 pages for $24.99. So like all of the other stuff from Boom, it's overpriced. But it's a Mark Waid series that I have not read. There's also a new series coming out, Just Beyond the Scare School, which is the new R.L. Stine. And that's $10 for 144 pages. R.L. Stine's first original graphic novel, unless you count the collected man thing that he did over at Marvel. But R.L. Stine, kind of a powerhouse in young adult with Goosebumps. So I imagine this is more for the Scholastic market, much like Goosebumps was. But if you've got a kid in your life who likes the Goosebumps type thing, this will probably be something that they enjoy.
Cool. And now let's get Marvel, baby.
Jonathan Hickman doing two X-Men miniseries that will set up his X-Men story. One of the things that I've heard people say, well, he wasn't on the Avengers all that long. He did over 100 issues of the Avengers, people.
Yeah, two series, and it wound up in Secret Wars, which I still reread to this day.
And
I'm utterly amazed at. Oh, yes. Yeah, we forget about that one, too. Yeah, had me at Hickman.
It's, they are really pushing this as, let's see here. There have been four seminal moments in the X-Men. X-Men, Giant Size X-Men, X-Men Age of Apocalypse, and New X-Men.
And if you're not sure what we're talking about, I believe they're part of the True Believer line this month.
Yes.
Or Replica Edition or something. I think True Believer is Carnage. No, they have actual
replica editions
of Giant Size number 1, New Mutants 98. X-Men 137, the first X-Men issue I read, and the one I will probably get, X-Men number 1. Because what's fun about it is that they have all the ads in it. It's just a replica edition, as it was printed. And of course, it's in much higher quality stock than it was back then.
And there, these actually surprised me because what, the Hulk 181?
Oh, I should have picked it up and I didn't.
That one sold, it was in the, what, it was in the top 50.
And it's and usually like 20 bucks reprints, on eBay's.
Yeah.
So.
And usually these reprints are kind of, you know, a couple thousand people buy them. Nope, these are selling for huge. The next thing that Marvel's pushing, History of the Marvel Universe by Mark Waid.
This one is on my maybe list. I am probably going to wait till it's out in a hardcover or trade. Because exactly. I like Mark Waid, and this is something I would just read like the fan geek I am. I'm just looking at the artwork already going, oh, it's beautiful. And that you can quote me on that.
Another problem I have with it, though, 32 pages for $4.99. Unless there are no ads in this thing.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Remember how we said, oh, Loki died in War of the Realms. Well, he's not completely dead because here's his new series.
He got better.
Usually that's what happens.
Now, I'm at a conundrum on this because I'm not looking to. Oh, by the way, if you're reading War of the Realms, there's the last part of it, Omega 1 number 1 right there. Yeah, sure to pick that up.
The series that spins out of it that makes me most interested. Punisher Kill Crew.
But, I mean, there's Loki, there's Valkyrie, there's Punisher Kill Crew. All these really neat series coming out. I don't know if I, you know, again, the investor in me is thinking, you know, I sold my original Loki run for silly money. It'd be fun just to get on and read this. And then if I decide I don't like it. But the other part of me is like, you know, they will come out in trades eventually.
Joe, what is Marvel's best-selling regular series?
I would assume the Star Wars stuff, but I don't know at the moment.
This series is with issue, like, I think 13 or 14, outselling Batman.
I have no idea.
Immortal Hulk is Marvel's best-selling regular series. For years, Al Ewing has been putting out great books that don't sell. Finally, he has a great book that sells. And last month, it actually outsold Batman.
Interesting.
Which is a big deal.
Hang on a second here while you talk. Go ahead, keep talking. I got to check something
out. One of the things that blows me away is just every so often, a book catches fire. And if you would have told me a year ago, even, that Marvel's number one selling book would be The Hulk, I'd go, why? What are they going to do? How are they going to relaunch it again? But nope, this relaunch has actually caught fire. The early issues are going for insane money.
Yeah, I'm like...
Joe, how much is number one going for?
There's too much word spamming going on. I mean, I put in Immortal Hulk number one. I got over 1,300 results because people are putting first print, you know.
Just went to a fifth printing on it.
Yeah, and some of those variant covers are going silly. Hang on, exact word, exact order. Over on the side of the eBays, they have a thing for advanced search. So now I'm just Immortal Hulk 1, first print never. Okay, those are all bids. Let me find buy it now. Oh, the tension's thick. Now I got, okay. Fourth print, $8. I don't want a fourth print.
There might not be any first prints.
No, there might not be. There's some people that got the Defender crossover on there. That's jumping in.
Yeah.
Go on, keep talking. I'll scroll through and see what I can find because there are only like 300 on here, so I should be able to find it pretty quick.
Well, last month we talked about how Peter David was doing a Hulk story. And one of the things they're doing for Marvel's 80th anniversary is having some of the, you know, classic creators do new stuff. Roy Thomas and Jerry Ordway are doing a Captain America and the Invaders one-shot.
Yes.
And I'll buy anything Roy Thomas does. in the Marvel Universe. Matter of fact, I'll buy anything Roy Thomas does that's not an adaptation of a novel. Because, you know, he's good at doing it, but I'd rather just read the novel. But Roy Thomas playing in the Marvel Universe, especially doing an Invader story, that just makes me happy. That just makes me happy. Let's see if there's any other regular comics that jump out at me.
I did see Death's Head, the original one, is back for a four-issue miniseries. So I'm kind of excited about that. There was a, what else I got down here? Oh, it's going to take me a while to find it. Fantastic Four, I can't say the word.
Prodigy.
Prodigal Son.
Yes, Prodigal Son. It's a three-issue miniseries.
Yeah, and again, Peter David, as I've said in the past, he writes the phone book. I'll pick it up because he's that damn good.
So, let's see. There's anything else that jumps out at me. Oh, Marvel's doing a kind of another crossover called Acts of Evil, which is kind of a retread of the Acts of Vengeance, where heroes take on villains that they're not used to, and that'll be in their annuals this year. Some of them look kind of fun. So let's see. Super Skrull versus Ms. Marvel. In Venom, it's Venom versus Lady Hellbender. I don't know who Lady Hellbender is. Punisher is Punisher versus the Brood Queen.
Brood? Oh, Brood. I'm sorry. I thought you said Brood.
Brood Queen.
Brood.
And the Age of X-Men, a big Marvel thing that nobody seems to care about, is finishing up.
Okay, I found it. Immortal Hulk number one, first print. From only last year. They're hovering about, the cheapest are about $20, $25. So, and they go crazy from there. And there are, you know, oddly enough, you could find variants for less. So if you really want to jump in on the story rather than go graphic novel, you could actually find, well, you find a different printing variants, but you could get like a first print variant for as little as $5. So you're not totally out of the, out of the game yet. You can jump on board anytime you want.
Back in the trade paperbacks, one of the things that is out that I'm fascinated by, Fantastic Four Behold Galactus. That was the hardcover that was the size of a door, you know, that extra big size. Well, they're putting it out as a regular size now. It's a great book, by the way. It reprints the first Galactus trilogy. Oh, this doesn't have all of them. It only has parts of them. It has Fantastic Four 48 through 50, which is the original Galactus trilogy. It has 120 through 123, which is the John Buscema Galactus story that introduced Gabriel the Airwalker. And then the John Byrne 242 through 244, that Galactus story. Do yourself a favor. Just hunt down the great big huge one.
Yeah.
$50 if you buy it online. And this is, $24.99 for a hardcover that doesn't have all those stories. Just get the big one. Just get the big
one. I, again, have nothing trade paperback in Marvel I even care to buy. There's nothing that I'm even like with DC and the other guys. Well, if I can afford it, I may buy it. So...
There are a few that I'm looking at. First, I'm not buying it, but I want to point out the original official handbook of the Marvel Universe Omnibus, Ohotmu, is available. It is unbelievably out of date, but if you want to see what the Marvel characters were up to in the 80s, there you go. They put enormous amounts of work into this. And what it was, they started it as a project for the Marvel superhero role-playing game and decided, you know, why don't we just put this out as a regular comic, see if anybody buys it. I remember it was a big deal at the time. And it's still fun to go back and read it, even though it's, you know, what, almost 40 years out of date now. Feel old yet, Joe?
Constantly.
I'm kind of surprised that when they brought it back, it was that new format that really didn't have all of the information and didn't really work and was for like each series. And it just, I would be interested if both Marvel and DC put out an updated version of the Ohotmu and DC's Who's Who, but I don't think that there's enough people out in the comic buying world that would buy it. Savage Sword of Conan, the second omnibus, is available. This reprints, let's see here, Marvel Comics Super Special number 2. Savage Sword of Conan 13 through 28 and Marvel Comics Super Special. Oh, Marvel Comics Super Special number 2. $100 for about 1,000 pages. This does not reprint everything from those like the other ones do because they don't have rights to everything. When I read the Savage Sword of Conan number 1, it didn't have the Red Sonja stories, and it did not have the Gil Kane Black Mark stories, because I guess Gil Kane owned those. The next page is Timely's Greatest, the Golden Age Simon and Kirby Omnibus, which reprints all of the stuff by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, including Red Raven Comics number 1. Joe, what is interesting about Red Raven Comics number 1?
I don't even remember Red Raven.
Right, Red Raven was, he only appeared in that issue until Roy Thomas brought him back in the X-Men, of course, because that's what Roy Thomas did. And the second issue of Red Raven Comics was Human Torch Comics number 2, which is why there are two Human Torch Comics number 5. Because what they did, they changed the name to so that they wouldn't have to buy another second class postage thing, and the post office caught them and said, no. So they had to renumber, so there are two Human Torch Comics number 5. But it reprints all of the Captain America stuff they did, all of the one issue of Young Allies comics they did, all the other stuff that they did before they left Marvel. See if there was anything else in the trades that jumped out. Oh, they are reprinting the Marvel Visionaries books. So this month is, last month was the Stan Lee one. This month is the Roy Thomas. These are great books to just get samples of these creators' best work. They're going to be reprinting the Jack Kirby one, the Steve Ditko one, and the Chris Claremont one in coming months. The Marvel Decades book gets to Marvel in the Tens. And this is called Legends and Legacy. So it's got, let's see, how do they describe it here? As iconic heroes enjoyed worldwide cinematic success, a diverse array of young champions stole the spotlight. So you've got the new Ms. Marvel, you've got Squirrel Girl, you've got the female Thor, you got Spider-Gwen, and it's the last of the Decades books. Savage Sword of Conan reprinting the first 5 issues. Remember how I complained that Savage Sword of Conan was just kind of a regular color comic and I wished it was a, you know, black and white magazine? Well, if you want, you can buy it as a black and white trade paperback.
Ooh. And choices that we have.
And that's direct market only. War of the Realms is already coming out as a trade paperback, not a hardcover.
You're not going to waste time on that one.
And then there are all the tie-ins.
I'm waiting for the inevitable omnibus.
Yeah. Let's see what else they have. Usually the epics are pretty cool. Flipping back here. Oh, they do a new reprinting of World War Hulk. Just the miniseries, not the whole thing. So if you want the whole World War Hulk, you got to buy the omnibus. Epic Collections, they do a Star Wars Epic Collection, which reprints more of the original Marvel stuff. But if you bought the 3 omnibuses when they were being what remaindered out for $20 each, you already have those.
It's like I said, you know, just boring.
The Fantastic Four Epic Collection reprints Fantastic Four 52 to 67. and also annuals 4 and 5. This was when Lee and Kirby were at their peak. So if anybody ever asked me, well, what should I read to see what Jack Kirby's best work is, I would point that book out to them. Also, Elektra Assassin, which has been out of print for a long time, gets a new trade paperback.
Warn you that it's not as straightforward as like a normal comic book.
No, because it's drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yes.
And
it's good. It's just not, if you're going thinking it's just going to be, oh, another Elektra story. No, definitely not.
This came out the same time as Dark Knight. And at the time, it was thought of as just as good as Dark Knight. I have recently reread it. I like it more because of Bill Sienkiewicz's art. He doesn't do a lot of regular comics anymore, which is a damn shame, because when you read this, you see just how brilliant he is. He uses all sorts of mediums, paint, drawing, grabbing stuff and jamming it onto the artboard, collage. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And it's a shame it's been out of print so long. It's kind of like the Elektra Lives Again that Miller drew himself. That's been out of print forever. And when it was originally put out, it was put out, you know, a larger size through Epic. And it's beautiful as well. Marvel needs to get, you know, Frank Miller. Miller is money. Frank Miller is money. But for Marvel, I think, you know, they're basically going to put all their money behind the X-Men relaunch. Which, you know, they've done a lot of X-Men relaunches, but they're saying, no, this one's serious.
Yeah. Although I kind of like the last one. I've been enjoying that, so what do I know?
And now we get to the aforementioned everything else.
I've only got three things in the interest of time to mention, because most of what I'm getting are things that I always get. The aforementioned, we talked about Lion Forge, Gail Simone, Jose Luis is doing Catalyst Prime 7 Days number one. It's kind of interesting because they put the actual release schedule on it. It's a 7-day event that happens, end of the world type scenario. And I do appreciate that they actually put the release dates down because I thought that was kind of interesting. I also had to decide, do I want to wait and read these as they come out or wait for the inevitable graphic novel? But what I've been doing a lot with some of these independent books is I just put them in a short box, keep them in order, so then when all four, or in this case 7, come out, I'll pull them and read them as a chunk. So that probably will take care of that. Way back in Tomorrow, I'm recommending the Alter Ego 160, which is a special issue remembering Steve Ditko, Sturdy Steve, as they would call him. I don't buy a lot of Alter Ego. I absolutely love its Counter Magazine back issue, but I definitely going to pick this one up. And then the last thing I'll mention in Titan Books, they have a paperback of the Days of Future Past. A good thing we're ending. I can't even get my lips to work. But Days of Future Past. No, Days of Future Past. Which you know, I don't know. I'll read it. I'll buy it, read it, talk about it later.
Yeah, it's a novelization.
Done. I'm done. I can't even pronounce novelization. I can't even say IBM. Corey, what do you, anything stand out at you in the next 100, 200 pages of previews?
First thing I want to point out is Ahoy Comics picked up Second Coming from after Vertigo dropped it when Fox News said, oh, this is blasphemous. And then everybody was like, oh, DC should never publish anything like this. Never mind that they have published Preacher and got a TV series out of it. Second Coming. Let's see here. God commands Earth's mightiest superhero, Sunstar, to accept Jesus as his roommate and teach him how to use his power in a more powerful way. Jesus, shocked at the way humans have twisted his message over the last 2 millennia, have vowed to straighten them out. This is Mark Russell, who's making his name by just doing some brilliant stuff. His Wonder Twins comic is great. His Flintstone comic was amazing. And Second Coming looks to be just as good. I'm glad Ahoy Comics picked it up. In Archie, I want to point out that they are still reprinting the older stuff in the kind of mini trade paperbacks. So we get the second volume of the Betty and Veronica Spectacular and Archie and Me. I wish that these were like the Sabrina book, which printed everything in order. But I guess, you know, Archie, some of the stories they probably went, ah, that's not very good. But I love that Sabrina book, and I wish they would do more books like that of their series, especially like in the 70s when Archie and Harvey both in their main books kind of walked away from the humor stuff and went more into mystery because kids were really into that sort of thing. I remember in the 70s, I was reading about books in the 70s, and they said if you wanted your book to sell to kids, either have mystery or ghost in the title.
And gorillas. Gorillas sell.
No, that was the 60s.
Doesn't matter. They still sell.
At Fantagraphics, there's a book that I'm interested in for historical purposes, but I do not know if I'm actually going to buy it or if I'll just wait till the library gets it, and that is Maxim Crumb, Art Out of Chaos. Maxim is R. Crumb's brother, who, if you've watched the Crumb documentary, they talk about how he was far more artistically talented than his brother. People thought his work was better, but he had severe schizophrenia and was really kind of unable to create much work. So this is a book that goes over his art and his life. I don't know if I want to own it because, like with R. Crumb, I appreciate R. Crumb. I think it's important that, you know, being a comics historian, I know about R. Crumb, but his work still makes me feel icky. And there's no other way to put it. You know, his book, his stuff kind of makes me feel icky with the weird sex stuff and the over-the-top racism that supposedly is mocking racism. On page 326, there is a book from Hermes Press, which puts out some great historical books, called Ditko Shrugged, The Uncompromising Life of the Artist Behind Spider-Man. It's a hardcover that goes over his life and career and philosophy. And it's funny how, you know, with Kirby, they don't talk about Kirby's philosophy. With Alex Raymond, with Frank Frazetta, with all these people, they don't get into his philosophy. But with Ditko, once he became an objectivist, it really defined the work he would do, you know, what working conditions he would do, and more it seeped into his art, so that by the time you got to the 80s, you know, they would go, Marvel would throw him work. And he would say, no, I don't want heroes that do this. I don't want heroes that do that. If you, Joe, you read the Iron Man as an Alcoholic story, right?
Oh, yeah. First time or second time?
Second time, when Denny O'Neil stretched it out for 40 issues.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, there was one issue that Steve Ditko drew. And the first page, Tony Stark's having a dream about being in the Iron Man outfit, drunk at a bar. And if you look at that page, you'll go, that page is a little different. Maurice Severin drew it because Steve Ditko would not. He's a hero would not put himself in that situation. But Steve, it's a dream. Doesn't matter. I will not show a hero putting himself in a situation where he would endanger other people. Ditko was, like they said, uncompromising. And there's something to be said for that. I may not agree with Ditko's philosophy on things, but I do find it fascinating. And it really, if you look at his, what they call the self-published stuff that he was doing, they were basically just illustrated essays of him talking about what he believed. Let's see, you talked about the Tomorrow stuff. On the page next to that is a book that we saw I saw at Dreamhaven on page 388, George Harriman's Crazy Cat, The Complete Color Sundays. It's 11 by 17, 632 pages, $200. If you really want to see George Harriman's art at its best, pick up this book. Me, I'm okay with the paperbacks that were $20 each. And I think the last thing that I point out is way, way in the back, Warrant Publishing. Warrant Publishing. The Creeps is a magazine. It's 52 pages for $5.95. It's a larger size magazine. It tries to capture the spirit of the Warren mags. Most of the stories are all written by the same guy using different names. But they've got some great artists. They pulled in a few old Warren writers. Don Glut and Nikolai Kuti. A new story by Richard Corbin. So I'm enjoying it. It's not as good as the Warren stuff. At its peak, it's better than the Warren stuff at the end. But I like a good anthology. There was nothing that jumped out at me from the manga this time, and nothing in the tchotchkes that I wanted to spend any money on. So there you go. There's previews for this month. And how long did it take us? An hour and 30 minutes, Joe.
Well, we went off on a few tangents.
Well, that's what we do. That's why we always say the previous episodes are longer.
We are tangent lovers.
Yeah, hard to believe that you didn't even have to pull me off onto these tangents.
No, you just kind of went by yourself.
Yeah, I just wander off on the rabbit trails.
Ippity
and if
hoppity.
You like listening to me wander off on the rabbit trails, I do it on all sorts of podcasts.
Like
these. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010. It drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and Joe Crazy Writer, talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about. Every Monday morning. It's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose Podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Writer does a solo podcast, and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong. Because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha. How's that for a segue?
That's pretty seggy.
I thought that was pretty good. Almost as good as Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Well, I got to tell you, a lot of things have been selling. But right now, the eBays are kind of in disarray. Because, I pulled a lot of stuff out of the stores to bring to the Comic-Con. Next week, we're going to guess who finally... Finally saw the Avengers. This guy, our co-host.
Yes!
So I mock you and kind of make it a tie-in. So we're going to do a special episode with that. And Corey's going to draw in some guests. I, right after the con, went out. Funny thing is, let's see if Corey knows. Corey, how long do you think I've been married?
30 bajillion years.
Pretty close, 31. Although Chris would probably say 30 bazillion, right? Oh, she's at work. Usually she comes bursting with a wry comment about now.
So 31 years you've been married, so five happy years.
So right after the con, we took off for 2 days. If you remember last year when
completely
I came back,
selling my joke.
I could barely walk. So I'm really looking forward to coming back and starting Hip Watch Part 2. Yes, I learned from the worst. So anyways, eBay's in total disarray. I did sell quite a bit, in the last week. I'll just kind of rattle off a few of them, see if you recognize them. Again, $6 Million Man, Season 6, 1 through 6. I collected all the photo covers because my intention was to go see Lee Majors at one of the con. I couldn't go, so I done didn't. Reaching all the way back to 1993, as Corey remembers, Wolverine and the Punisher, Damaging Evidence. I sure don't. But I had it. So
they put out a ton of those miniseries.
And it was what was annoying at the time is that they only did 3 issues, so you had to lock in 3 runs before you even knew if it would sell or not. Judging by the collectability of this, I sold it for like $6, so and free shipping. So nobody cares. I mentioned before, I'm always hesitant to pick up a new series, but when I do and I don't like it, I sell it. I did not like the House of Whispers in the current Sandman universe, TC Vertigo. So I bundled them up as a set and ended up selling them to hopefully somebody who does like it. And then in the category of huge run, or bigger than usual, I had a run of Captain America 23 to 50. This is volume 5, which had not only the Civil War in it, but the death of Captain America, the first Bucky as Cap.
Oh, you had Brubaker stuff.
Yep, which is wonderful stuff. I do have them. I think I have them as trade. If not, I don't know. Maybe there was an omnibus already. A lot of times I think, oh, I picked that up on omnibus. Guess what? It came out a few years ago. But I just put it together as a big run because, like I said, I'm slowly selling off on stuff. And I'll talk a little bit about that when we get into Corey's favorite segment of the store. In the meantime, what's left on the eBays, and I'll be putting stuff up, things I found at the con, repricing old stuff. And as usual, if you see something you enjoy or you want, make an offer. Let me know you're a listener on this here show. I'll either toss in something free, like maybe this here. This is a 1984 Top Supergirl PSA approved sticker. If you remember the movie from... oh, was it Helen? I can't think of her name. Did Supergirl. It was a movie, I think.
Helen Slater.
Slater, thank you. This one was labeled mint because they label cards like they do comic books. So, yeah, you never know what I will toss in because I'm that type of guy. K-R-A-Y-Z. Come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I talk about how I still have 2 weeks that I don't have to go to work.
Oh.
No, it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
It happened last year. It happened a year before. Somebody decided just to give me negative feedback on the eBays. And it shouldn't bum me because, I'm up in the five, I'm closing in on 5,000. And, the eBay, what mostly annoying about it is that he was mad because eBay says that the order was supposed to get there by Saturday. And the post office, for whatever reason, didn't deliver it. So it's my fault. I have no idea if the guy even likes the books. He hasn't got them yet. He just snagged me. The other thing he did, never contacted me. I'm an easy guy to get along with on eBay. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. Odds are if I send you something and it's not what you wanted, first of all, I take returns. It's not a big deal. I may actually just say, hey, you know what? Keep it. Here's the money. I'll just call it even. But, eBay doesn't monitor the feedback system. It's kind of annoying because, the guy violated the 2 rules of the eBays. First of all, he never contacted me to find out what's going on. you know, two, he's blaming me for something, to quote Han Solo, not my fault. He just negged me. You know, it's like, whatever, dude. I just block him. He can have his negative Nelly. You know, I don't even know if he'll like the books because I can't even contact him because I blocked him. But that's the way you got to deal with it. You know, I asked Corey that before. You look at something, 5,000, and the guy's got two negatives. The one that bugged me from last year was that the guy was an idiot because he left me positive feedback but left it on negative. And I looked at his feedback he left for other. He did that for everybody. And I don't think he's buying on eBay anymore because I called eBay and I said, hey, this guy's leaving negative feedback or positive feedback but hitting negative. You got to really put a stop to it. And whatever. Some people are just negative. They just like to be, you know, it's kind of like the, I was talking with a couple friends and, oh my God, the hate for Captain Marvel. Oh, I can't think of the actress's name because I'm terrible with names.
Brie Larson.
Just absolutely hate her. Well, she said this and she said that. And I said, did you even watch the freaking movie?
Or did you even go to what she said? Because there are people, she doesn't want white men to see her movie. No. She said, it would be nice if people other than white, straight white men did movie reviews. And if you look at who does the movie reviews in the paper, there are no people of color. There are no women. She's got a point.
Yeah. And it is, like I said, it is tiring to listen to this because, you know, even our old buddy, Dags from Amish Baby Machine, you know, because I finally ran into him and he knows that, you know, kudos to him because he didn't give away any feedback or any spoilers. And he said, well, what did you think about it? I said, I liked it. I said, well, you know, that's, you and Corey like everything. Well, tell me something you didn't like about it. I had to think about it because it's not the way I wire. If I'm going to see a movie, I'm really looking to either impress my wife because I'm going to it, or I'm looking to like it. So I don't know. I ranted to Corey before we started. I was just kind of down in the dumps. That's why I like having freaking first, because geeking always kind of cheers me up a little. We were alluding to earlier about the comic shop that closed. It's called the Comic Cave. As of April, they started liquidating. I have no idea if they're even around, but they just announced it. The store is about 6 years old. I actually donated. They had a GoFundMe on stuff, and I actually sent some money on behalf of the show saying, hey, we talked about it. Hopefully you can stay. Well, obviously, they weren't able to. They hung out through Free Comic Book Day, and then they liquidated stuff. And like Corey and I have ranted about before, I don't know how he was just so out of control. I mean, I was looking at the pictures of the unpicked up specialty product that was there. And I really don't know who to shame on this. If you want to shame the owner for letting yourself get sucked into this. But then again, there's also, he said, a lot of these are friends. Oh my God. I've had friends do that to me when I had Hot Comics, not pick up their stuff. And eventually, I mean, it's amazing. I'm still friends with a few of these people, but eventually you just had to put your foot down. And what would you do that for? I said, you weren't picking up your stuff. My heart goes out to Josh, but you know, I've been there. I've done that. I was able to cut it off and fortunately sell on my own terms. I hope he's able to liquidate enough to get rid of his debt. You know, like I said, we donated money. I thought he was given enough money to do it, but so it was kind of sad to hear that didn't matter. But, you know, don't do that to your local comic store. If you're going to order something, buy it. I had guys do that to me at Hot Comics. They knew I was closing and they, you know, I had these things for them and they just, they never came in. They just outlasted me. And, you know, now in the day of eBay, I still don't understand why he was hanging out of this shit. I would have been eBaying it like crazy.
I would have. And I mentioned it on Mike Wolfer's page. You got to put this stuff out. It has a limited shelf life. You tell people, we're going to hold it for this long. And then we'll, you know, you can say you're going to contact them, or you could say after a month it goes back on the shelf.
Yeah.
And you've got to hold to that. And one of the things that you did with statues at the smaller store is you have to put some money down on the big dollar items.
Unless you were a person, if I never knew you before, I would do that. But if you were someone who bought a lot of statues, I usually would pick them up. But then even in the small shop, I got guys who their eyes were bigger than their wallet.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd have to order the statue now because they're, what, 6-7 months out? They're like omnibuses. If you don't order it now, you may not get it later.
Yep.
But then when they come in, well, I'll pick it up when I can. It's like, ugh. Dude, it's for sale. You come and get it.
And omnibuses are the same thing. You know, at this point, I would, if I owned a comic shop, if somebody pre-ordered an omnibus, I'd have them put down, I wouldn't have them put down half, but maybe, you know, 20%. Because you can turn those things around pretty easily on eBay or Amazon. But you're running a business, and everything that you're putting aside for somebody, you're giving them a loan. You have to think of it that way, because you have paid money in hopes that this person will come pick it up. And it's not like comics are $1 or $1.50 anymore. They're $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, in some cases $10. That adds up fast. And, you know, there you go. There's your profit. There's your profit for the month. Now you can't pay your rent. Now you can't pay your heat. Now you can't pay your light.
So a little freaking on that, but that's pretty much it. Corey, what's got you freaking out today?
The last two nights, I have been unable to sleep at decent times. I thought it was just at the group home that the clients had woke me up, because there were two nights where they woke me up around 2 or 3 in the morning and I couldn't get back to sleep. And then I came home and as well, I don't have anything to do. So I'll just lay down and take a nap. And then I would wake up 3-4 hours later. Well, last night, hey, I didn't have a sleep shift at the group home. I could stay up late and watch movies. So I stayed up late and watched a movie. And then it's like, okay, it's 1:30. I'm going to head to bed. So I go to bed and I lay down. And at 2:30, I said, this is not working. I come out, lay down on the couch, and start watching some stuff on the streaming. And finally, around, I think it was 3:30. Yeah, it might have been around 3:30. One of my friends who, one of my ex-girlfriends who does overnights, messaged me and said, you're still up? I said, yeah, I just can't get to sleep. And I'm looking for a shitty movie to watch. Just something terrible. So I, on the Amazon, Joe, do you you have Amazon Prime, don't you?
I do. I have access to it, yeah.
There is a one of those 80s teen sex movies where, you know, it's rated R and the plot is an excuse for women to take their tops off. That's how you could tell it was the 80s, because it was all about boobs and not butts. I watched School Spirit, where the lead character dies in a car crash, comes back as a ghost, and just sneaks into the women's locker room, etc., etc. The reason that I wanted to watch it is the school administrator, you know, the stuffed shirt, played by Larry Linville.
From MASH?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And you can watch his career dying as the movie goes on. But with her, I would point out all of the story flaws and all of the problems with it. And, you know, she was laughing at it. And I was like, you know, things like, hey, you can tell it's the 80s because we're not seeing any butts at all. It's all boobs. Okay, the slobs are having a party right across the street from the snobs. You know how this is going to end. Wet t-shirt party! Oh, Roger Corman.
But he was responsible for the best Marvel movie of all time.
That's right. And it was still the New Concord. So it was the same film company. So freaking about that. Looking at the comics numbers, the fact that Marvel is now 50% of the market and growing, Marvel had 108 comics last month, Joe.
Mm.
That's in freaking sane. They're flooding the market like they always do. And with DC kind of putting up the surrender flag, if, you know, Marvel sales are doing better, but if Marvel ever takes another dip like they did a few years ago, that's very worrying for the entire market. And really, that's all I'm freaking out. Hopefully, you know, I have two sleep shifts the next two nights. Hopefully, I actually sleep on them. So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
I feel like such a high-tech guy because now with my new phone that I got, I can do fun things like get a wireless headphone and listen to music or podcasts at work.
Did you get the, with the phone, if you bought it within a certain time frame, you actually got free EarPods, which are wireless headphones. Did you qualify for that?
Nope. Was not qualified for that.
I did. They're wonderful.
Yeah, no, I was happy because I don't want them in the ear because, you know, being an old Luddite like me, I'm, you know, they're like, oh, that's bad for you. But I did want it kind of over the ear because I want a little bit of the protection. So it was kind of fun. I mean, what I did find is I just kind of put music on. So it might actually curtail my ability to read graphic novels during the slow time. But when it's busy, it actually did help quite a bit. You know, listening to music while I was, you know, working hard. So I kind of enjoyed that. So I feel so high tech. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I had a pretty good Mother's Day. My mom's in town. So, went out to visit her. She's, freaking out a little bit because she's, they're trying to get rid of everything, make sure everybody has a chance to get what they want. It was cool. My brother and sister were both there, so I got a nice shot of the family. My brother and sister really, really hate getting their picture taken, but I had something happen a while back where my wife was given some pictures of my grandfather. My grandfather, my father, my father-in-law were all firefighters for the city of St. Paul. So as these guys are going through the archives, they're finding these pictures or things that they're not keeping. Or if they're keeping, they're digitalizing them. And he gave my wife pictures of my grandfather from like before I was born. I mean, it's kind of neat to see him. Kind of like I remember him, but, you know, he was in his prime still fighting fires. And, you know, one of them, he was at one of the classic boiler firefighters, you know, the ones that they trot out at parades. They have the big metal ball in the front, the steamers. And one was the fire truck at the time. So I put it on Facebook and all the cousins went crazy and everybody, you know, just to see it. Well, you know, I was kind of every time I go to take a picture at like one of the things, I can understand you don't want the flash in your face. But cameras nowadays, you don't need a flash necessarily. So we're like, oh, I'm not ready. I said, yeah. But the thing is, when you're dead and our kids go back to look at these pictures, they're going to look at them the same way you're looking at the pictures of grandpa. It's not for you. It's for them. So they kind of shut up. And oddly enough, they wanted me to send me copies once I used my phone to take pictures with everything. So I got a nice picture, not only of me and my mom up on my Facebook, but of my family. And then that was the family I grew up with. And the family I have now, my daughters, their boyfriends, they came over. And initially we were going to go out to eat, but it was running late. One thing before I get into that, I should mention, like I said, my mom's in this big kick of getting stuff away, kind of like what I'm doing on the eBays or just donating stuff and things like that. I ended up with all the fine china. I have zero interest in all the fine china. And finally, I asked my wife, why did you take this? And funny thing was, it was in four of the original diamond comic boxes, which I haven't had access to in years. So that means they probably have stored this stuff since I had Hot Comics. Maybe Crazy Comics. I don't recall giving them any boxes for that, though. So now I have some diamond boxes in my garage filled with good china. And I'm like, well, I could always eBay. No, we got to put it in the curio cabinet so Ma sees it and not freak out.
That's one of the things that is something for a previous generation. Thankfully, my parents were not part of that generation, where you have the fine china, then you have the regular plates.
Mm-hmm.
And the fine china was just displayed. My grandmother had all of these beautiful glass plates that we never, ever, 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 for any reason, ever ate off of. They were just in a cabinet. And then there were the plates that we ate every day on. My parents were like, we're not doing that. And I hadn't even thought of it until a few months ago where somebody mentioned about how, you know, it was a generational thing where you had the nice china and the regular china. It's like, no, I just have plates. And they're, but one set is what my parents gave me when I moved out, and the other is what my grandparents gave me when I moved out, and they're just utilitarian plates. They don't match. My silverware doesn't match because, you know, I raised a son on my own, so pieces of silverware would disappear. They'd get taken to school and left, or left in a car that got sold or whatever. So it's been, oh, I need a few new spoons. So I'll just buy them at the Goodwill because I'm not paying, you know, high dollar for spoons I'm going to eat cereal with. They all wash.
You know, and I do see this occasionally in baggage where somebody's obviously come because their relative or loved one's passed away. And then they, you'd be surprised because all this silverware does not react well with x-rays. So we have to go in and investigate. But it's just amazing. I mean, my kids have zero interest in it. Our, Chris and I, fine china, said with air quotes, no one in podcasting can see, comes out twice a year, Thanksgiving and maybe Christmas if we're having a Christmas meal. We've trotted it out when the girls graduated, but we don't use it. We've got about as much of it as we're going to have. Girls have zero interest in it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've told them, I said, you know, the big thing you're going to have to do is come through and tell me, well, two things. First of all, you got to let the guy who cremates my body know what to do with my hip. Because a lot of people don't think of that. If your loved one has an artificial part and they're being cremated, that part isn't going to disappear. So they're going to say, hey, you're going to have two hips and maybe a pacemaker and some other things. What do you want to do with it?
I just rather want than, to be wrapped in cardboard and tossed by the side of the road.
No, that's pollution now. You'd be better, okay. Better be just let yourself, when the floods come, just set your body down and float away downstream.
Put me in a composting pile.
There, see, now you're thinking. So, but the same thing with the comics.
Leave me in the woods for the wolves.
Yeah. And they're like, ew, tastes like raccoon.
No. I would not taste like raccoon, you bastard.
Anyways, they
taste like pie.
They're going to have to come and decide, you know, what, if any, of my comics they want. I mean, I said, it's all yours. It, more than likely, I said, if Gruber's around, talk to him. He'll help you sell them. Corey and I have talked about that in past podcasts. What are you going to do when you're gone and your son, and you know what you're doing with your stuff?
What am I
going to
do when I'm gone? Nothing.
Yep. Anyways, that's pretty much about it. And then, like I said, to finish the Mother's Day, the kids came over with their, we sat around instead of going out to eat, which at that time we realized was going to be a long wait. We just had Mama's pizza delivered. Well, we didn't deliver. We went and picked it up. And even then, we knew it was wrong because usually it's about 20 minutes. You're like an hour to get it done. And when Chris got, or I think the girls went and picked it up. And they're like, oh, it was so long. It was so big. Everything was crowded. I said, yeah, I kind of figured that. Mama's Day, go to Mama's Pizza. Yeah, yeah, that's that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it does if you get there on time. But so we had pizza, had some cake. Even the cake was funny because we went to Target. Chris initially was going to cook, but we spent so much time at my ma's that they decided, she decided she wasn't going to cook. And I'm like, that's fine by me. She did pick up some stuff. She makes this really cool veggie taco dip, which is really good. And we snacked on that. And while we were there, I ran across, they had all these cakes that say Mother's Day on it. And I thought, well, that might be a fun thing to get. It's topical. It's chocolate. So I went and found her, and we came back.
They're all half price today, by the way.
Well, they were slapping $3 off on them while we were there.
Even better.
Cool. And being Mom's Day, I let her decide. She decided on it. It was good. It was a marble cake with lemon frosting. But I wanted chocolate. Matter of fact, I think now that they're half price, maybe I'll go out and get one.
There you go.
Why is there a chocolate cake sitting here? So, now to peel behind the curtain, I will say, as we're recording this, we are still a week away from SpringCon. As it drops, you will be 24 hours from SpringCon. As it drops, I will be out on my anniversary run. So, as I said before, we're going to have a special special Avenger spoiler-filled episode, and then we'll probably talk about. Well, I'll talk about the con and try to give you guys a quick synopsis. And then hopefully Corey and I will have some interesting shows because we got the weekend free. We've got about a dozen comic shops around the area we've never visited. And yeah, it could be fun. I don't want to monopolize Corey's weekends, but I will if I have to. Anyways, that's pretty much all I'm geeking on. I know, ain't it great? What are you geeking on, Mr. Strode?
I finished the Charles Soule run of Daredevil. It was fantastic. Go out to Marvel Unlimited and read it. You will be very happy with what you have read. Let's see. I know I've had more time, of course, because I'm not working the office job. Joe, I don't know if you have signed up for the DC Universe app or whatever it is.
No, not yet.
Got caught up on Doom Patrol. By the way, all the original series on there are now in 4K.
Cool.
So I may go back and try and watch Titans again because if it's in 4K and with my new eyes, I may actually be able to see something on the screen other than, oh, wow, that's really dark.
Yeah.
I saw Avengers Endgame. And again, I will not spoil it other than to say that it really felt like two great movies fused together. And I really wish there would have been an intermission because there was a genuine break where, okay, they've completed all of this task and now they're going to do this task. And while I like the fact, it really felt like an epic film. Much like how in the 50s they made, you know, the huge epics like Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur. This felt like our version of that, where it's this big, sprawling epic that has all of this stuff going on. The performances were fantastic. The way they treated the characters was amazing. Everybody got their moment in the sun. And even with a movie that's 3 hours and 5 minutes long, I came out of it wanting more. And I can't think of any movie in years where I came out and went, oh, I want more right now. Even the Star Wars movies, it's like, oh, okay. Well, now I have some time before they move to the next part of it. Cool. This, no, if I were a kid and watched it, I would be begging my parents to take me to the library or the comic book store or whatever to buy more stuff so I could read it. I saw Jim Starlin right away. Recognized his voice, actually, before I recognized how he looked. And was surprised he got a few lines. The Stan Lee cameo was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. Otherwise, let's see. I have found that Amazon has tons and tons and tons of obscure movies. So I have made a list of all the spaghetti westerns they have I want to watch. I also, there's a lot of, you know, people where maybe the movie has gone into public domain, maybe it hasn't, that's available out there for free. They just interrupt with ads at random times, but via some computer program where, well, it's been 30 minutes, time to drop in ads, even if it's in the middle of a sentence.
I know, I hate when that happens.
But still, these are movies that you're not going to find anywhere. That's why, you know, if I couldn't sleep, it's like, okay, I need to find some piece of crap that I never would have watched to make fun of. Because, you know, my friend Tommy and I, we are looking for the worst movies ever made. Sadly, School Spirit was not one of the worst movies ever made. It was just kind of mediocre.
I may actually have a couple for you, but we'll talk offline on that.
Well, we're always looking.
Yeah, I got a couple. I actually have the DVDs, so I'll figure a way to get them there. So you may see if my badness is as bad as yours.
I had a lot of time to read. I've read another couple Star Trek novels. I'm reading the Destiny trilogy. There's a problem I have with this trilogy. The second book was much, much, much better than the first. But there's a problem with it where it's, I know where this is going. I know how they're going to end this. And it's way too obvious. And I wish the writer would have done something to throw a couple red herrings in, because I'm reading it going, oh, come on, just get to the thing that I know you're going to do. So I don't know if that's a freaking or a geeking, but I love the fact that I have more time to read. The weather has been very nice, so I've been outside. And my mother and I were talking about this on Mother's Day. She went on and on about how happy she is that I have this time off. And the good thing is that I planned for it in advance. Like my son says, my backup plans have backup plans. But I'm really glad that I planned for everything, because Friday I got my new glasses. So all of my vision stuff is now completely done. When I work on a computer, I don't wear glasses anymore, because if I wear the glasses, things are kind of blurry. But when I put the glasses on, I am amazed at how much better I can see. I am amazed at how far my vision goes. And then driving at night, you know, you and I have talked about how, oh, I hate driving at night and driving in the rain at night. Oh, I just don't want to do it. I used to think that my headlights were dim and there was a problem. Nope, they're fine. I have no problem driving at night anymore. It reminds me of when I was in my 20s and I preferred driving at night because there were fewer cars on the road. So my vision is amazing at this point, and I am so glad that I did this. And I am so glad that my company offers short-term disability, and I am just amazed that the short-term disability people said, no, you need to take a month and a half. I just wish that I didn't have to go back to the office job. I like the money, but don't like the job.
Sounds like what I went through.
Yeah.
But I got to go through it again.
And the living room is becoming full of all the stuff that I've bought from the last few months. So normally I would go, oh, now I need to go to a comic shop. And how much are comic boxes now at comic shops? Like $10 each?
I haven't even looked. I've still got some from when I closed Hot Comics I've never gotten to.
I ordered short boxes from Amazon. 10 short boxes shipped at my door for $45. So I will be doing some comic sorting while I'm watching TV. I'm really enjoying my time off. And it's funny how people said, oh, you're going to get cabin fever. I didn't. I'm not getting cabin fever, but I was getting Avengers fever because, you know, every day I didn't get my glasses. Like, God damn it, hurry up, get my glasses so I could go see Avengers. So I got my glasses Friday at 8:30, and the next show of the Avengers on the Ultra Screen was at 11 a.m. So I was sitting and waiting at 10:40 at the Ultra Screen to see the Avengers. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for 2 hours, because that's what happens with previews.
Yeah, we even when we don't like stuff, we like it.
Well, that's what we say every week. The comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Last week, we looked at Coyote Run, a Celtic rock group done by an old friend of mine, David Dersch. It's been...
you have friends?
They haven't played in a while. But he said off his 10 years running, we could play a couple songs. So if you like it, just go to the YouTubes and you can check out the full disc. This time around, I like trains. You like trains. So I decided to take one off the rock disc called Boarding the Train. Corey, hit my music.
Boarded the train. died. Met friends as a knight unlike all others. He turned and said, I've met the end, and the train comes for your father. I said, Father, don't be a daft old man. You know we live in the hills, far from where the train tracks run, and you know we live there still. Ford and the train. Son, don't waste my time. Just hear that whistle blow and lad, come to take me home. And sure as I stand before you now telling you this tale, I too could hear a whistle blow where there isn't any rail. Ford and the train. With the sound of the ghostly wheels at night, and my father spoke to an empty wall filling me with pride. He closed his eyes the final time, then the train had rumbled off. I was left there crying, Father, get back off. Board in the train. Passed me by, and now I am old and frail, and again I hear that whistle blow where there isn't any rail. Forward.